Good morning.
Good morning.
What I always say when you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God, let's rightly divide it in context. I'm not sure the date. Oh, 7/26/2020. I'm Paul Baalbek III for anybody out there. We're at Faith Bible Church, and today, the name of the message, I guess, I'll be teaching on is genuine faith, hope, and love produces service. So let's open up in prayer and seek God's blessings on the message. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another glorious day of grace. We're born in the best dispensation that I can think of, Father, where we're righteous before you. The moment we trusted in Christ, you justified us and you gave us your Spirit as a seal. We're yours. And so we offer you our minds, our hearts this morning, Father, in true worship. And I pray your Holy Spirit will truly bring revival in our hearts, and that daily he would do that. And anything that's done here, Father, it's to the glory of Christ, to your glory. I pray also for the pastor later as he preaches that he'll just bless that message also. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's start out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 1 through 4. And while you're going there, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you noticed, I got a haircut, and I told the lady, you know, I thought I'd be faster if I get a short haircut, and that way I'll get done on time, right? So I told the lady, I don't want a crew cut, I don't want a flat top, right? So after she cuts my hair, I said, so what do you think? And I'm just like, you know, just what, that's life in a fallen world, right? But let's see if I'm fast and I quit on time today and get all my verses in. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. So I'm in second. Might help to go to first. Jacob, could you give me some water, please? That's service, brother. That's ministry. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, what do you got to ask always when you're studying? Who's speaking and whom are they speaking or writing to? So Paul's, he's with Silvanus and Timothy, and Paul is writing to this church, probably through Emmaus. That's someone who he would dictate to. Unto the church of the Thessalonians. So these are believers in Thessalonia, right? So this has application for us because we're also grace believers, right? Which is in God the Father. Thank you, Jacob. Excuse me. Which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see, Paul doesn't say from him, this isn't just a greeting. This is how God's dealing with us in grace and peace. Aren't you glad? If you went to, you know, after the rapture, then you got 7-year tribulation, then the 1,000-year reign of Christ, or when he first comes back at his second advent, it's wrath. He's pouring out the grapes of God's wrath. That will be then. For now, it's grace and peace. Ain't you glad? Praise God. So, look what Paul says. We give thanks to God always for you all. Can we learn from that? About giving thanks for other believers? I give thanks for my church. This is our family church. Our spiritual family, I consider all he is. And y'all got a special place in my heart. I might be short, but I got a 10, feet tall inside with the big heart. And we really missed you when we were gone. It's a blessing, you know, because we went to two different states in two different weeks, Wisconsin and Indiana. And so we were in your state, and it was a blessing. So thank you for your prayers. And anyway, we should be giving thanks for everyone that's a believer, even if they're not a mid-ex dispensationalist, as we are Pauline dispensationalists. Still, if they're in Christ, we're a part of each other, right? And God can use them. The problem is, when you don't rightly divide, right, sometime you're teaching things that He can reward you for if you're teaching error, if you're mixing law and grace, right? So, but we still want to thank God for everyone He saved. And you see, as the pastor said, making mention of you in our prayers. Prayers don't always have to be long for people. Sometimes we should. If we know somebody's really going through something, then we should take time and hold them up in prayer. Because we all do at different times, right? You know, Satan hates the grace message, doesn't he? He hates especially those who understand the mystery, that secret that was hidden time past until Christ from heaven reveals it to Paul, right? That brought his downfall. What did it say? Christ made an open show, a spectacle of the principalities and powers, right? Satan hates the grace message, so he hates you. But the good thing about knowing where we go to for our instructions, what does Paul tell us? We've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, transferred, right? We've been placed into the kingdom of God's Son, right? We're not under His authority. We don't have to fear Him. You know, He wants us to think He's like got all this power, and like in the movies, you know, and he's got this red tail and pitchfork, you know, He's going to poke you when you ain't looking. What He can do is deceive. He has methods. And I always say He works best behind the pulpit. That's why I encourage you, if you've been slack, if, you know, maybe you were, but haven't been lately, stay in this word. We need our minds renewed daily, right? So what to say? Have our minds renewed so we'll be transformed. That means growing in grace. And I think any true believer wants to grow in God's grace. Wants to serve God. Because that's what our new nature wants. It only wants to serve God. And so Paul says, let me read the top in my Bible, just a little small paragraph, what they said I thought was pretty good. Paul has many pleasant memories of the days he spent with the infant Thessalonian church. Now, you know how long Paul was there teaching? A month and a half, I think. You know how long he was in Corinth? Almost 3 years, I believe. Or was it a year and a half, Boyd? It was a long time. And look at the difference in these 3 years, right? Look at the difference in the churches. See, because a lot is with attitude. What are you impressed with? The Corinthians were impressed with worldly philosophy. They were impressed with signs and wonders. And Paul says, don't get used to them toys. They're going off the scene. You know, and so there was a lot of carnality, you know. But then you have the Galatians, right? They were carnal in what? Getting under legalism, right? Performance-based performance for God's acceptance. So he says, their faith, hope, and love and perseverance in the face of persecution are explanatory. Paul's labors as a spiritual parent to the fledgling church have been richly rewarded, and his affection is visible in every line of his letter. This church is a church that we can look and learn a lot from. You know, you can learn from the different churches, but there's stuff going on in the world right now, right? You know, a lot of people are fearful, and, you know, well, they were going through things. They had fear. You know, they were looking for the rapture, man. And then some were teaching, just like today, on Facebook, you'll see it. that, oh, it's the signs and wonders, we're going into tribulation. Because they don't really divide the word. They don't know them kingdom signs and wonders are not being fulfilled in the time of the dispensation and mystery, are they? You want to find out what's what prophecies are being fulfilled today? Go to Paul's epistles. Go to 1 and 2 Timothy. Paul says in the end times, right? Men will be lovers of themselves. Psychobabble. You got to love yourself or you can't love others, right? There's a lot of things said they'd be brutal. You know, haters of God, right? But Paul here says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Remember these. And labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus in the sight of God and our Father. So, you see what they had going on there, this thing keeps blowing, was a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. Now, us as grace believers, we know, right, that we're saved by grace, right? You have been. Some versions will say you are, some will say you have been, and they're both right. It's in the Greek, which God breathed out. That's what was inspired. It's the idea is it's in the perfect tense. It happened at a point in time with continuing results. So you are, you continue to be saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves, not nothing we could do, right? It's a gift of God, right? Not a work, lest anyone should boast. We all know that, right? We share that with people, right? But what's the next verse say? We're God. Turn to Ephesians 2:8-9. Keep your finger here. Ephesians 2:10. Because there's a balance. You know, we fight people tooth and nail about being saved apart from works, right? You know, we would stand against what you call lordship salvation, where if you ain't got works in your life, you ain't saved. And they go to James instead of Paul. Right? And who's James writing to? To the 12 dispersed tribes, the 12 tribes of Israel. He's not writing to the body of Christ. Only Paul writes to them. But let's see what Paul says, because God wants to do things in us. You know? He didn't just save us so, you know, we could just have fun. God wants your best life now. He could want you to have some apple pie and your pockets full and always healthy. Right? There's a purpose why he saved us. One thing, he loved us. Right? God demonstrated his own unique love in this, why we were still sinners. Did we deserve it? Do we still deserve it? Christ Jesus died for us, personally. And so look at verse 10. So we'll go 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we're not saved by any works. You don't stay saved by works. And even because you, if you don't have works in your life, though a believer, there should be fruit produced, right? Like the Thessalonians, we'll go back in a minute. But that doesn't prove, just because you got works, doesn't even prove you're saved. You know why I say that? You ever see Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on doors? Hello? Them people working. They're working it. Right? Mormons riding their 10 speeds in their little white shirts. Kirk would used to say, one of them dresses sharp, the other one buys their clothes from the thrift shop. I'm not sure which was which. I think he meant, just in case any of them are listening, that'd be nice. We love you. All right. Not a works lest anyone should boast. For we are his, God's, workmanship. So God is doing the work, right? It's God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, right? God is working within our will, not overriding it, not forcing us. He wants to motivate us by grace. What does grace teach us? Titus 2:11 and 12, right? For the grace of God that has appeared to all men, I believe that was Paul's talking about on the road to Damascus when Christ appeared to him and the dispensation of grace began. And Paul was the first person in the body of Christ. And 1 Timothy, we don't got time, he says he was saved as a pattern for those who would believe after, right? He was saved completely by grace. He was Christ's worst enemy, right? Persecuting that kingdom church. Man, he had fire and smoke coming out of his nose. And he thought he was doing God a favor. Just like the legalists today when they attack you. Oh, you're teaching that greasy grace. Yeah. Cheap grace. Let me tell you something, it ain't cheap. It costs Christ his own, like Peter says, his own precious blood. For we are his workmanship. Why did God create us in Christ Jesus? Unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So, in time past, God had a plan, right? He knew you were going to get saved. He knows who's going to come and trust in Christ. It's not like, you know, tulips, the Calvinistic false teaching, that God chooses some, and so, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, takes the flower, the little tulip, and so he chooses some to be saved. They can't be saved, but he tells them, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word, and thou shalt be saved, but you can't be saved. That's a monster idea about God. It's false. How does God save us? How does he choose us? It says through belief in the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, right? It's the gospel when somebody hears it and makes that choice to believe it. If we don't share the gospel with somebody who's not saved, are they going to get saved? Unless somebody else does. Or if they open up the word, some people have. But usually it's when someone shares a clear gospel. And so God wants to do some things in our lives. Okay, back to Thessalonians, please. Like I said, you got to watch, because I'm not talking about a performance-based acceptance with God. You know, I never try and use guilt to motivate people or fear. But grace, it says it teaches us to say no to ungodliness, right? Say no to sin if you want, to live up ungodly. And then in verse Titus 2:14, I believe it is, it said it makes us zealous for good works. So when you understand grace, you want God to work in you, through you, and touch people while you're here. How long you got to be here? Let me ask you. I want you to think about it. How long are you going to still be here? You don't know, right? No wonder Paul tells us to redeem the time. Me and Bill was almost gone already. We know. And I didn't see no white light. Yeah, you know, God knew I would be up here. Do you remember the first, after I got out of the hospital, after 4 months and 2 months in the rehab, first time I came and preached, man, I was like a pit bull drooling. Getting back into the fight, you know? Because that's what grace does. It makes us want to serve the Father. You know, we had this intimate relationship with the Father. You know, sometimes we don't take advantage of it. That's something you should take advantage of, the privilege of prayer. You know, getting into his word so he can speak to our minds and teach us about life, right? So, but you see something here, faith in verse 3. Remember without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. There's three words there, faith, love, and hope, right? What does Paul say in Corinthians? What's left? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, right? That's fruits of the Holy Spirit. See, we can't produce that. What was going on here was the Holy Spirit empowering them, driving them, filling their hearts with love, and Satan was attacking. So that's why Paul. I mean, they had it bad. you know, they were really being persecuted. People in their family were getting killed, some. And that's why, what's Paul comfort them with? The hope of the rapture, right? That we'll see him again. Those loved ones that we've lost in Christ, going to meet him in the clouds, man. My best friend, he had polio. And I always had a lot of respect for him. He never whined about being physically challenged. He'd fight you when we were younger. If you got close to him, he had crutches, he'd grab you. And he was like a wide guy. And one time he got on the roof and helped put a roof on. He was a mechanic. And later, he had to be in an electric cart and chair. And then he was it got worse and worse. He had got cancer, and he was in a bed. And, you know, I was just like, Lord, I wish he could just go. He's in a lot of pain. But when I see him, I think he's going to run in front of me. He's going to have legs. You got aches and pains. I might be taller, Bill. I'm figuring God's going to give me about 6 inches of height, you know? I don't know. I won't really care, because we won't think like we do now, because we won't have sin natures. And that I really look forward to. Never want to sin. Only desire and glorify God and serve Him in heaven. But we should have that idea now. And I want you to see something. Paul says, and the patience of, in verse 3, towards the end, and the patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Everything you go through here, whether it be persecutions, physical pain, you name it, suffering from your bills, God sees it. Look at it. In the sight of God. Nothing can pass God. He knows everything you go for. Mary was going to sing a song this morning. Thank you for giving to the Lord. You know, and it goes like in one part, unnoticed on the earth, but heaven now proclaims. I was a pastor at that time. And, you know, everything gets back to the pastor. All the negative comments. So when you make, now there's nothing wrong, you know, you shouldn't be, oh, he's the holy anointed one, should never say anything, question him. No, I'm not talking about that. But Paul says to honor those who labor, you know, in the word. But say, make sure the negative comments get back to the pastor. I was teaching through the book of Galatians. What's the book of Galatians about? Let's see who studies. Law and grace, right? It's all about law and grace. Well, a lady in the church told somebody else that got back to me, of course. Actually, my buddy Frank told me. He liked to look out for me. All he does is teach law and grace, law and grace. Well, that's what the book, I'm going verse by verse through the book. So sometimes you don't feel appreciated. That's why you drop the pastor a card. I seen Ariana, it was really nice. The pastor has some things at the Berean Bible Institute up on the board that Ariana's giving them appreciation. So anyway, I'm feeling kind of unappreciated, because then you get complaints about this. Complaints, I don't like this, and I think it should be done this way. And you didn't, I would have taught that verse differently. Yeah. And so I felt kind of unappreciated, and I heard that song. And tears came down in my eyes. I'm getting choked up now. Things that nobody knows what you do for people sometimes. You're serving the Lord, and nobody's saying, hey, appreciate that. We should, but it might be unnoticed on the earth, but what's it say? In the sight of God. God sees it. And Christ is going to reward it. See, he could take us in the rapture, right? If he hasn't, it's because there's still unsaved people. I like C.R. Stamm said, and I fully agree with him, and I said, I never pray for the rapture to hurry up and come, because they're still unsaved people. What if it would have happened before we got saved? Now, we should look forward to the rapture. Paul said there's actually a crown for those who are looking forward to it. But on the other hand, if God leaves us here, we're going to go through things, right? Stuff happens in a fallen world, doesn't it? Turn on the 6 o'clock news. No, don't turn it on. I hardly don't watch it because that's another story. Anyway, and then you see in verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, Calvinism would say, see, God elects some to salvation and not. Election means service. Christ was God's elect. Did God choose him? He needed to be saved? No. So how can that mean? See, election means service. So God sees your service, even when no one else don't. And he also sees when we're not serving him. And he wants us to serve him. But he don't want us to do it in our own strength. See, there's what a balance is. You know, Paul calls us to stand, right, in the faith. He calls us to love one another, serve one another out of love, right? But what we have to remember is in our own strength, we can't do the things that God calls us to do. Love people, forgive your enemies. You know, when you get mad at somebody or they hurt you or whatever, right, you don't want to forgive them in your flesh. It says anything it can do to get you, I ain't forgiving them. You know what they did to me? And what did Paul tell the Galatians? Watch lest you devour one another. See, churches get destroyed sometimes. You know, if we don't watch, our church can. Because Satan hates the great grace message. So what's he going to do? Try and get people to bump heads. But our battle ain't against flesh and blood, is it? It's against principalities and powers. Don't ever forget that. When somebody does something, you start praying for them. It's hard to stay mad when you're praying for somebody. If you get mad at me, pray for me. I appreciate it. Maybe I'll get you mad at me, so you will pray for me. give you a chance to make application. You know? All right, let's go. We're going to look at faith. In Romans 10:17, what does Paul say? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How did they get their work of faith going? They heard. Paul brought them the word of God. And they responded in faith to that word and stepped out. And what happened? It's a work of faith, right? And I love this labor of love. They loved laboring for the Lord. They love God's word working in them, energizing them. The Holy Spirit taking the life of Christ, expressing itself out of them. Don't you love it when God uses you? Yeah. Man, I love to hear sometimes, you know, that, you know, I minister a lot on Facebook for, you know, use that around there. And sometimes certain people will say, I needed to hear that today. You know, going through something, God knows. And I'm just like, thank you, Father. I know I don't deserve to be used by you, but I know you can because you've made me righteous in Christ. You know, he can use all of us. But do we want to be used? See, do we have an attitude of gratitude? That's why we serve out of gratitude, right? And for the honor of God, Christ in us. It's no longer us who live, right? But it's Christ. Him in us, expressing his love, his truth, his life through your personality. So you don't got to try and be like the pastor. A Xerox personality. Got to try and act like the pastor because he's the holy one. You could just be who you are. Know your identity in Christ and walk consistent in that. You're not faking. You know, people will say, oh, you Christians are hypocrites, right? You know, you say one thing. And I usually tell them, I don't tell you to do something I don't do. or don't do something that I do. That's hypocritical. But you know, when we're not walking consistent with our identity, we are being a hypocrite. Because what is a hypocrite? Somebody who's acting like somebody they're not. If you're holy and without blemish, perfect in God's sight, you're accepted and beloved. And so if you're not walking in that truth, then we're kind of being hypocritical. See how Satan will twist things around? You know, he likes a lie to be thought of as its truth, and truth thought of as a lie. So let's go. So if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, what do we got to be getting into if we want our faith to grow? These are some pretty smart people out there. Now, what I want to ask, you'd ask yourself, are you into the word? If not, will you decide, I'm going to start getting into the word and make that decision and follow through? You know, Paul said, I forget the past. Okay, if you've been lazy, you've been lazy. I've been lazy at times. I come up short, Bill, sometimes. But you say, okay, I forget about it. I don't have to look at my failures. I can get my focus on the Lord. I want to grow. I know I need to be in this word. To have God renew my mind and transform me. And so Christ can shine out in this world of darkness. You think people don't need Christ? Christ and God's word is the answer for all the world's problems. Amen. You know, in Hebrews, because then we see the word hope there. Hope is an anchor for our soul, right? It anchors us. During the storms of life, what's an anchor do? It anchors you in so you don't get tossed to and fro, right? To and fro by every wind of doctrine, or to and fro by the storms of life. And that hope comes from God's word also. It produces hope in us. Go to Romans 5, 1 to 5. Romans chapter 5. How am I doing, hon? I'm repeating the verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. There's your five times, babe. Or three times, she tells me to repeat it. I thought it was too many. And somebody says no. On Thursday night Bible study on Facebook, I was joking around about it, and somebody says no, because they're newer to studying the Bible, and they said, it gives me time to, you know, so. My wife is wise sometimes. Nah, she's loving pretty much all the time. And it pays. It pays to listen on a wife's perspective. Because sometimes men, we don't see things like from them. But then watch it, because Adam listened to Eve, didn't he? And what did Job's wife say? Why don't you curse God and die? So if she's giving you wisdom, if not, chuck the rest. Romans 5, 1 to 5. Therefore, we're looking at hope still. And you see faith here too. Therefore, being justified by faith, declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God. That's wonderful. If you don't know you have peace with God, you won't have the peace of God. Because you'll think that He's going to get you. Am I going to get in an accident today? You know, that's what I remember when I was under legalism. God will get you. You get in that sin, boy. And they always talk about the filthy five, the dirty dozen. But they don't talk much about spiritual pride like the Corinthians had. That church was a lot like a Corinthians church. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom also we have access, what a blessing, by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, can we rejoice in that? Are you rejoicing in it right now? Thinking about it? Yeah, because our emotions will respond to our thoughts, right? That's why you want to think on things that are true, that are just. If there's any virtue, if there's any excellence, where are you going to find that? Meditate on the Word of God, right? Think about Christ and all you have in Christ and who He is to you. Now, here's a little bit of more of a mature step. And not only so, I want you to ask yourselves, I'm asking myself, see when I got one finger pointing out, three back at me? And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Have you been glorying lately? You've been glorying these tribulations, the corn, and all the other stuff that's going on in the world. Have you been glorying? Or have you been focused on it? See, we got to take them thoughts captive, don't we? You don't want to look at what Satan's behind all the evil, okay? You don't want to look at what his work. You want to remember, God's bigger. Satan's limited. God is bigger. He's greater. He's working all things for our good. Thank you, Lord. Even this stuff, I sure don't understand how you're working for my good. But by faith, I can thank you. And what happens? We glory in tribulations also. Knowing, see, you got to know some stuff from God's word, right? Knowing that tribulations work at patience. It produces patience in us. When we go through tribulations, problems, trials, what happens? We learn to have patience waiting on God. And not only that, see, there's a next step in maturity, growing in grace. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience produces something else. Experience. I think some translations say character. The character of Christ in us. We get experience. So what happens when God brings you through something already? Has He brought you through things in your life? Man, me and Mary think, before we even knew each other, so many things. I've had guns put to my head. I bet Bill had a lot of guns put to his. No, I'll bet he had got a lot of guns put this on. But you know what sicknesses? God brought me through depression, brought me when I almost died 3 years ago. And what happens is, as we learn patience and waiting and trusting God, it produces endurance. You don't quit when the times get tough. When you're going through things, you don't quit and say, throw up your hands, forget it, God. No, you endure. You keep going. In the message I did, I think, last Sunday, I think about Christ. Paul tells us to have a mind like Christ. Think like him, right? Think of Christ carrying that cross after he got beat up like no man's ever been. His beard was being plucked out. He got the crown of thorns down on him, blood. His back's in shreds. You can see his muscles. And what happens? He got this heavy cross that, you know, it's so hard. What's he do? Does he say quit? He had his eyes on the goal, right? He knew he had to die for us, or we'd be lost forever. We'd be on our way to hell. We'd stay spiritually dead. He kept his eyes on the goal to do the Father's will. And he carried that thing, and he got there, and he allowed them. He didn't complain, did he? He didn't defend himself. He was like a sheep led to the slaughter. He knew this is his purpose for coming here. And our purpose in life is not to be comfortable. It's so you can comfort others. As God comes with the same comfort God gives you, the strength, the power of the resurrection in your life, when you learn to take the Holy Spirit as we're studying the Word of God, and by faith, that's how you appropriate the resurrection power. The Holy Spirit makes it real in our experience. You know, all that ashenakata and falling and shaking, that ain't the power of the Holy Spirit. Bunch of emotionalism. I was a Pentecostal 6 or 8 years. They want to say that's power. Cast out them demons. I'll bind you. Satan laughs. But boy, somebody who understands the power of the resurrection, and where do you find that out in Paul's epistles, our apostle? I mean, you see it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But Paul said it was given to him. Go to Colossians. I want to see if we're going to come back. Yeah, we're going to come back to Romans, so keep your hand there. Colossians chapter 2. Just before Thessalonians. Colossians chapter 2 verse... I'm sorry, chapter 1 verse 25. 24. Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. See, Paul went through a lot of sufferings, didn't he? He's in jail right now. What was he doing to have... In the book of Acts, what were they doing in jail? Whining and complaining. God, I was serving you, and I'm in jail. Oh, you failed me. What are they doing? Singing to the Lord. Praising Him. But the other prisoners are hearing it, right? Wow, what these guys got? I want some. Right? See, when you have the joy of the Lord, when you're focused on Him, the fruits of the Spirit, the love of God is being poured out of you, right? People, they get attracted. It adorns the gospel. Now, that don't mean, you know, Christ was perfect, right? He didn't leave everybody to the Father because that's a choice. But I'll tell you, it adorns the gospel. When they see the light shining in the darkness, kind of want to get by that light, right? So Paul says, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am a minister according to the dispensation of grace, dispensation of God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. That word fulfill means complete, perfect. What's Paul talking about? Filling up that which is behind in the afflictions of Christ. I thought Christ said it's finished. What was missing? The knowledge of what God accomplished through Christ's death, burial, and the resurrection for the body of Christ. Satan didn't know he's going to form the body of Christ, bring in the dispensation of grace, to create new creations that are going to fill positions of authority in heavenly places. He didn't know that Christ was going to ascend and sit at the right hand of God, high above all principalities and powers, right? He didn't know that we're seated with Him. You see why Satan hates the message? Because God kept the secret. That's what mystery means. What does Paul say in 25? I'm sorry, 26. Even the mystery, that's a sacred secret. It means a secret. It was hidden time past. It wasn't until Christ reveals it to Paul, and Paul gives it to us in that body of truth, directly to and about the body of Christ. Romans through the book of Philemon. That's directly to us about and about us, right? Yet all the Bible's for us. We should study all the Bible. There's some dispensationalists that think, oh, just study Paul's epistles. How would you know about the first Adam and the second Adam? Or how would you know what we need to be saved from if not for Genesis? Where it tells us Adam sinned and rebelled against God. Then the Spirit of God left him. And he gained some sin nature that he passes on to everybody, right? We're born rebels. So, Satan is going to attack grace believers especially, because we understand this. He's going to attack all believers. But you got a special target on your back. Hey, but that's kind of cool. Yeah? See, I don't like being bored. I don't like being a pew warmer. I like getting in the battle. It gets boring. Just sit there watching TV, you know. But to get out there in the battle, and you'll be in the battle, but it's going to be so worth it at the Bema seat. You know, I was making up a song on the way to church about well done. You know, when Christ, we go before him. And I pray they'll be like Paul, I kept the faith. That means he didn't water it down. It don't mean he kept himself saved. But everywhere he went, he was sharing it. And he failed at times. That's why I said I forget the past. And also he forgets his past accomplishments. Because sometimes it's like, oh, remember the good old days at Faith Bible Church when this was going on? Remember the good old days, all the Bible conferences? Go to Ephesians. I got to close up with this. Ephesians 4, 14 through 16. So two books back. I want to ask you. I got a lot of questions today, don't I, for you? My brother-in-law does that to me. Calls me up. Hey, I got a Bible question for you. Everybody comes to this assembly, right? I want to ask you why you come. Is it to learn? Yeah. But do you come to bless others? Fellowship, the word, prayer. But do we come to give? Or do we just come to get? I want to ask you another thing. Where are you serving in this church? Or do you just come and take? You say, but I don't know where. Everybody's got, I believe, spiritual gifts, not outward sign gifts. Pastor would say it's talents. So whatever you want to say it is. You have certain abilities, whether that God, I believe spiritual gifts inwardly, somewhere, and you say, well, I don't know my spiritual gift. Get involved with something, and God will show you where you're gifted. You say, but I don't see no ministries. Why don't you start one? Why don't we get a little groups together? How can we reach out around here? Or, oh, I guess our sign in front. We're reaching out, right? Seriously. You know what I'm praying for? And when we've been going to these different churches and for our church, revival. Revival is not for unbelievers. The gospel is for unbelievers. Revival is for believers in our hearts. We need to be revived every day. That's why we need to get into the word. And then pray without ceasing. Have a prayerful mindset throughout the day. Spending time with God. I want you to see what grace does. So Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. Now he's talking about pastors and teachers. That we should henceforth. Well, actually what pastors and teachers do. And at that time there was an office of apostle and prophet that those offices were done away with once God's word was completed. But here, why? That we henceforth should be no more children, immature, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. See, growing in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, listen this now, I'm beginning with this, by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working in the measure of every part, make it the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's when everyone, different members of the body, we're building each other up with how God, we're allowing the Holy Spirit in us to edify, to love, to comfort, to encourage each other. And you build up the body by reaching out to the lost, bring them in, get them edified after they're saved. Build them up, right? So my prayer is that this message, you won't just leave it here. Paul had a kind of interesting message. What did he preach about? I don't remember. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God. God, where can I do my part? I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to redeem the time. I don't want to waste it. Best part. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Oh, how it comforts us. How it challenges us. How it always points us to Christ. From beginning to end. And I pray, Father, for revival in every heart here. And also for them churches we've been ministering at. That we would just be revived in your grace and be excited about it. And even when we're not feeling excited, that we're sharing it. Because it's so much needed out there. And also in our lives. I pray if there's one father who's never trusted in your son. Maybe they've been religious, been in the choir, maybe worked in food pantries, trying to do good works, trying to be religious, but unsaved. They're trusting in their works and not in what Christ did. I pray they would trust now that Christ died for their sins, that they could be saved by grace through faith and not by works. As a gift from you, Father. I pray they'll make that choice and not leave wherever it's somebody here or watching or listening on CD. Make that choice because we don't know when we're leaving this world. And for the believers, Father, I pray your spirit causes us to want to redeem the time, to buy it up, to walk wisely, circumspectly, in our lives and use our time to reach out to the lost and edify the saved. And the main thing is to glorify your Son. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.